I got to say, I never thought, you know, and you might disagree with me, I'd go into 2012 having questions about this offense. I have questions, not so much that they'll be successful. We know they will. But are they better, even on paper, than they were last year? Right now, I don't know. Well, guys, I guess I had nothing to worry about, right?
Maybe you should listen to us more often. We told you last week not to worry. Let's say you were worried about the running back because he was unproven, injury-prone, and I don't know, he averaged 6 yards a carry with 125 yards. You're worried about the new receiver, and I look late in the game, and there's a back shoulder fade down the sideline. Brady and Brandon Lloyd look like they've been playing together for 5 years. You need to listen to us.
Fred, tell me the truth. Early in the game, when Brady missed Lloyd wide open for that bomb, what was going through your mind?
I was worried.
But wait a minute. I'm pretty sure that was a play-action bomb that came after a Ridley 17-yard run.
It was actually a fake to two end runs. And then
right after the Ridley 17-yard run.
No, look, hey, I'm glad all those things that I was worried about, almost all those things I worry about, true.
Okay, your platform, what are you still worried about?
I'm still worried about pass, blocking a little bit. I think I saw Solder on the ground a couple times.
Listen, you're not going to have a perfect
Brady with
game.
A bloody nose.
We're not going to have a perfect game, Fred.
Right? No,
I mean, and I know that you're not trying to.
I started out. I'm glad I'm not. I don't have to be worried about all these things.
Yeah.
One game.
Listen, offensively, I thought they were terrific. You know, not the most explosive performance we've seen, but I think we knew offensively they were going to be able to score points. I'm most encouraged about what happened on the other side. Defensively, again, it wasn't perfect, but you saw a lot of guys around the football. You saw some speed and playmaking ability. Obviously, the rookies made an immediate impact.
That was actually perfect.
Exactly the way that Bill Belichick dreamed it. I mean, he couldn't have his two first-round picks team up to make such a huge play in the first week of the season. That's almost storybook stuff. That's what I'm most encouraged by.
And I know that came on a passing play, but, the way they just controlled the ground, whether it was stopping Chris Johnson in the Titans or with Ridley running, that, you stop the run, able to run the ball, you win the game.
In terms of the run defense, we always say, Bill Belichick talks about, if you want to take one thing away, you can't. It's just how much you have to dedicate to that. But taking somebody away and holding them to 4 yards are two different. I mean, this is a 2,000-yard rusher who had 4 yards. I mean, that's as amazing a performance up front. And it was nothing fancy about it. It's not like they schemed and we're going to have a big nickel or anything, extra safety, they just lined up. They have a front seven that's pretty stout, pretty young, and swarms to the football, and they just gave him nowhere to go. You talked about it this week on our radio show. Maybe you thought he bounced a little bit, but I thought he had nowhere to go. Whether it was up the middle or to the outside, they had it all covered.
I mean, Kyle Love and Will Fork just sealed that middle, and then the guys around the edge just played contained, disciplined football. Speed was evident, and like you said, he had nowhere to go.
Yeah, and I thought the edges did a good job, both Jones and Rob Ninkovich. I mean, Ninkovich didn't have the big, huge play that Jones did, obviously, but I thought they eliminated those cutback lanes, and I thought they stayed disciplined, because the other thing that sort of got lost in the shuffle here, Chris Johnson, 11 carries, 4 yards, but Jake Locker was not really able to escape the pot. He didn't really hurt you with the speed. He had one scramble, I think, for a first down where he kind of got outside containment. But that's a very athletic quarterback who, by the way, I thought was pretty impressive in his first NFL start. I thought he showed some things. The Patriots did a great job of keeping him in the pocket, making him beat them from there. And then when you get one-dimensional like that, really it was downhill for the defense. I thought they did a great job, really, for 60 minutes.
Have we seen a new Patriots offense with Josh McDaniels and the way he's going to call plays? And if so, what does that mean for West Wilson?
Listen, I know that was a big topic. He only had 3 catches for 14 yards. I think Andy said it was his lowest output in terms of yardage.
In a game in which he didn't tear his ACL.
Since the game that he went out against Houston. I'm not overly concerned by it. I know Wes Welker can catch a lot of footballs in this offense. On Sunday, clearly that wasn't a huge part of the game plan. I think he was only targeted 5 times. So he had a big drop early on that I don't expect him to make. You put that in there and it's, probably closer to 4 catches for 30 yards. And maybe it's not quite as glaring as it ended up being with the 14 yards. But I don't think it's necessarily a new offense. I think it's the same that we've always seen. They're going to do what they think is best that particular week against that particular opponent. The next game, we might see Stephen Ridley run the ball 5 times. Who knows? Now, I'm very encouraged by what Ridley did. I think Josh McDaniels does want to make more of a commitment to the ground game. But how that works out every week, I don't think it's going to be, completely 35 rushes, 32 passes, complete balance. I think that was sort of a perfect start to the season. I don't think you can rely on that every week.
And in a game like that, no one's going to get 10 or more catches. You know, it's just spread around too much, and the running game will take away the times that Brady drops back.
When it's successful.
When it's successful.
When there are days in the first quarter when you're only getting 3 yards a carry, there won't be that many runs. You know, Bill Belichick likes to say we don't pound our head into a brick wall. If the running game's not doing the job, you'll see more spread, you'll see Welker. But I think the one thing we've learned in this whole Welker contract negotiation over the last couple of years is he's the ultimate team player. He wants to be here. He wants to be on this offense. This isn't Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. Even if his numbers are down, even if he's not targeted nearly as often, I find it hard to believe it's going to become any sort of a problem or an issue.
No, it's not.
Much ado about nothing.
And all these people that think, well, they don't really need Welker anymore, they will. Believe me, there's going to be a game, and it could be next week, as far as where they're going to need Wes Welker. So he's going to still be an integral part of this offense.
The Patriots unveiled a little bit of a wrinkle on defense this summer, and that was moving Jermaine Cunningham inside to rush in some sub situations. We saw it in training camp, we saw it in the preseason, and now we've seen it in the regular season, and they've had some success with it. Obviously, you give up a little bit of size and power for some speed and athleticism, and it looks like Cunningham is having some success. He did against the Giants in that last preseason game, and again against Tennessee on Sunday. I think this is something the Patriots have been looking for in recent years. Way back when, you had Jarvis Green, and a little bit early on, Mike Wright, before injuries ended his career. They thought they had it with Jonathan Finene, and it could be interesting that Cunningham could find his niche inside. One of the areas that we were really concerned about heading into the opener was the offensive line. And I know it was only 1 week, but really positive signs all around, especially in the run game. But the pass protection was pretty solid, too. But one guy in particular, I thought, really deserved a pat on the back, and that's Marcus Cannon. He really struggled all summer long, especially in pass protection off the edge playing right tackle. He stepped in. He filled in for Sebastian Vollmer, who they obviously wanted to limit his reps because he had such a short preseason. And you really didn't notice him. That's a very positive sign for a right tackle to go unnoticed. He even moved inside to guard, a position that really he hasn't played at all. So one game in the books after a very tough summer. Thumbs up to Marcus Cannon. Now, it wasn't all perfect on Sunday offensively. We know they ran the ball very well, and we know Brandon Lloyd got integrated into the offense. Those were two very positive things, and I think some people found some negatives in the fact that Wes Welker wasn't as big a part of the offense as he has been in recent seasons. But I think those things are related. I think that when you have an outside receiver outside the numbers and Lloyd that you haven't really had the last couple of years, and you run the ball as effectively as Ridley did, that's clearly going to take away some other things. Tennessee knew that Wes Welker was a big part of the offense. They wanted to make sure they gave him some attention. It's one game, folks. Three catches, yes, he wasn't a big part of the offense against Tennessee, but there's a lot of season to go, and I expect Welker to still be a big part of this offense.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I'm going to warn you, this is a cheap shot right here. I'm going to take it.
Yeah, it happens, though. You got to move on.
Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
It was a big day for the rookies, and we have the picture to prove it. Tavon Wilson hauling in his first career interception. Here's Brandon Lloyd showing off some of that athleticism we heard about. Finally, we couldn't have images of the week without Stephen Ridley. What a game.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joined now by Devin McCourty, Patriots cornerback and defensive captain. First of all, how did it feel this week with the bragging rights over your brother? Did you call him a few times, a few texts?
Nah, man, it was a good job just going out there getting the win, but a strange feeling seeing your brother on the other side with the loss, but it was good going out there getting the win.
How did it feel to see your mom in that, I guess, custom-made jersey that was half Titans, half Patriots, half you, half him? How'd you like that?
It was cool. I think she had the best time at the game. She was able to kind of just cheer on both sides, and you could just tell how much fun she was having just sitting in that stand, showing off her jersey. So I was happy for her.
How good was it as a defense to get off on the right foot, have a nice performance to open the season, something you can build on?
It was good. I think for us it was good just to get off to a good start, go out there and execute a game plan that we put together and felt that if we ran it the right way that we could go out there and play well defensively. So I think it was a good job of us. It's just believing in, you know, what we've been working on here and going out there and executing it.
How much fun is this defense having right now? Seems like you got a lot of young guys who just want to fly to the football, try to create turnovers. What's that vibe like in that huddle when you're out on the field?
It's a fun time, and I think that's whenever you're playing well, you're having fun out there on defense and as a team. So I think for us, you know, the challenge would be to keep practicing hard and keep getting better, because that's the only way we can keep having fun out there.
You bring up the challenge. You have the opportunity to face a receiver this week who your own coach said may go down as the greatest receiver in the history of the game, Larry Fitzgerald. What have you seen from him already on tape, and what does that challenge mean?
I think the biggest thing is kind of what haven't you seen on tape of him. He does everything on the field. He runs every route. And I think the biggest thing, you know, that sticks out with Fitzgerald is he catches everything. Everything, I would say, that's close to him, but even balls that are nowhere near him, somehow he gets through. So for us, it'll just be trying to compete with him and try to make things tough on him, because we know they're going to throw him the ball. He's gonna make some plays, but we got to make our plays.
I'm going to warn you, this is a cheap shot right here. I'm going to take it. You said Fitzgerald catches everything. Can't say the same about you coming out of the opener. You had that interception right through you. How disappointing is it to lose an opportunity like that? You're trying to count those, right? Starting off with week one, you want to pick.
Yeah, it happens, though. You got to move on.
How much of playing cornerback is working with your safeties? Obviously, Steve Gregory is a new guy you're working with, Tavon Wilson. How much are you enjoying working with those new guys, and how much does that help your job?
It's good. It's been good. Those guys are working hard. They learned the new system pretty quickly. So for us, it's just a day-by-day thing. Continue to work on our communication, get better that way, and I think we just keep practicing and grinding that out. We should be pretty good.
All right, Devin, appreciate it. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
Patriots met the challenges of week one in Tennessee. Now it's on to a new foe, Arizona Cardinals, Gillette Stadium, the home opener. Haven't played Arizona that often over the years. Last time, 2008, 47-7 Patriots win in the snow. But just because the Patriots haven't played the Cardinals much doesn't mean they don't know the schemes. Arizona built on the Pittsburgh Steelers blueprint. Ken Wisenhunt obviously comes over from Pittsburgh. Ray Horton, defensive coordinator, grew up in the coaching ranks under Dick LeBeau. That means there's going to be zone blitzes, pressures. They want to run the ball on offense. So even though they haven't played the Cardinals too often lately, they know that Steelers blueprint. One thing the Cardinals do have the Steelers haven't had in quite some time is an elite wide receiver. That's Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best receivers in the game. It really hasn't mattered who's at quarterback. Great numbers when Kurt Warner was there, but they didn't have very good quarterback play last year with Skelton and Kevin Cobb. And guess what? Still put up huge numbers. Larry Fitzgerald had 1,400 yards a year ago, 17 yards per catch average. He is the focal point of the Cardinals offense. A week ago, Patriots said, focal point, Chris Johnson, we're going to take that away. They did that to a very, very good degree. They'll try to do the same against Larry Fitzgerald this week. I know he's one of the best in the game, but guess who else thinks he's pretty good? Bill Belichick.
He's a great, great receiver. Been out as one of the all-time greats. Might end up being the best one ever. I don't know. You have no idea where he's going to line up. From play to play, he's just as dangerous going down the field as he is taking a shorter pass and running with it. That's not really the answer either. Try to keep the ball out of his hands, but that's not easy.
Larry Fitzgerald, clearly the best offensive player Cardinals have to offer. In the kicking game and on defense, that title falls on one person, Patrick Peterson. A year ago, his impact came as a punt returner. 4 touchdowns, 15-yard average. He was an impact player as a rookie. Now, he's developing on defense, one of the better corners, not only on their team, but one of the better young corners in football. Cardinals starting to use him a little bit like the Jets used Darrelle Revis. He's going to chase the opponent's number one receiver. Will he match up this week? Will it be with Hernandez? Will it be with Welker? Will it be with Lloyd? We won't know, but we know one thing. Tom Brady needs to be well aware where Patrick Peterson is on every play, because if he gets near the ball, he might catch it, and if he does, he might take it to the house.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You now have a young horse, and what do you want to do with young horses? Let him run
for you.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS. A around the NFL.
Football is back, baby. That's the good news. The bad news, there's nothing worse than week one silliness. If you listen to some of these comments coming out of 1 week of NFL action, Joe Flacco is going to throw for 5,000 yards. San Francisco 49ers have the best offense in football. Yeah, I heard someone say that. The best offense in football. And, of course, Robert Griffin III. This could go on and on. RG3, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Andrew Luck, he's the next Ryan Leaf. Guys, it's 1 week. Can we all settle down and let these games play out? We'll find out who's good in due time. Right now, there's a lot of football left to be played. Pump the brakes on the week one evaluations.
You can officially rule out the Tennessee Titans in the 2012 playoff mix. Not because the Patriots manhandled them on Sunday. It's because of what happened after the game. There's rumors now coming out of Tennessee that the players were grumbling about their offensive coordinator, Chris Palmer. Now, let me tell you, they should be grumbling on the fact that they couldn't open a hole for Chris Johnson and he could only get 4 yards on the ground, not because of the plays that Chris Palmer was calling. Let me tell you, that's a loser mentality, and losers don't make the playoffs in the NFL.
I'm sure everybody saw it this weekend. The NFL crowned a Super Bowl champion. It was in New York. It was one of the biggest stories ever. Oh, wait, the Jets don't get a ring and a trophy, what they did this weekend? I bet you they'll think they do. Even Stephen Hill, the rookie receiver who struggled in the preseason, 2 touchdowns, what does he say? Oh, the real Jets showed up today. No, the real Jets will show up in 2 or 3 weeks when they get overconfident, when they feel too good about themselves, and when they lose 2 or 3 games that they shouldn't lose. Patriots fans, don't worry about the Jets looking good on opening day. It is the perfect scenario for them to fall on their faces in less than a month. Jets win leads to Jets lose.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
After 125 yards from Stephen Ridley on Sunday, is it time to turn it over to him and end the committee?
It is definitely time to turn the keys over to Stephen Ridley. They finally have a guy who's proven not only can he take every single carry, but he can maximize the yards. He can make things happen. Was there anybody more excited in the postgame than Tom Brady? Talking about how you win games by running the ball and stopping the run, and we just want to throw it 30 times, we don't want to drop back 50 times. Everybody wants to be able to run the football. You know why teams have committees? Because they don't have a guy. They don't have the guy. Remember closer by committee? Why was that? Because they didn't have a closer. Simple. When you have the guy, you play the guy. They now have the guy.
Yeah, I like the idea of sort of spreading carries around for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's good protection for when you get banged up a little bit. Because let's face it, running backs take a lot of hits, Andy. And the idea of a guy being less than 100% from week to week is pretty common in the NFL. So if it was Adrian Peterson or an elite running back, then sure, you turn it over to him. Like Belichick says, if we had Corey Dillon, we'd run him like Corey Dillon. Well, I loved what I saw of Ridley in week one. I'm not sure he's Corey Dillon.
I loved what I saw last year. Every time they gave him enough chances, he maximized them. Remember that game in Oakland? Maximized it. Mm-hmm. Aside from the fumbles, when he stepped on the field, I believe 5 games, 10 or more carries, 4.9 yards per carry in each of those games or better, 6 yards a carry over the weekend.
Yep.
He has shown, give him the football, and what do they always talk about? Good backs. They get better as the game goes on.
Feed the beast. I get it.
Give him more carries, and he is more productive. You now have one of those guys you're talking about. I'm not saying he's Adrian Peterson or Hall of Famer, but he's worthy of 20 carries.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit reluctant. I want to see more. And listen, this is not anything anti-Stephen Ridley because...
Sounds like it.
No, I like Ridley a lot, and I liked him as soon as they drafted him. You know, did a lot of research on the guy. I wonder if he's one of those guys that if you do turn it over to him full-time and he's getting 20-plus carries, I wonder if the production eventually drops. I think he runs a little bit violently, and that's not a bad thing, but I think he takes a lot of hits. I think he's kind of an upright runner, exposes himself. I don't care about the fumbles. I know he's going to learn how to protect the football. That's not why I don't want to give him the ball. I just wonder if his production eventually will start to decline as those carries pile up. I want to keep him fresh so I can keep your little stat in line where you said, you know, when he gets this amount of carries, he can be this productive. I don't want to give him 25 carries every game and then have that production go down. I like the idea of the committee.
Has he not been productive every time he's out there?
He is a productive guy. Okay. I want to make sure it stays that way.
Well, I don't understand why you would not want your best 11 guys on the field.
It's a situation of diminishing returns. I think the more he gets
the ball...
But
we've never seen that, so you're just assuming this.
But aren't you assuming that he's going to do it?
But I've seen him when he gets the carries be productive. I've never seen him get less productive because he had too many carries, get worn down. I've never seen that.
I know, but I have seen a lot of running backs where that's happened.
Yeah, but I've seen a lot of running backs like Chris Johnson who go for 2,000 yards or Adrian Peterson. Does anybody run more violently than him? Aside from an ACL injury, the guy has been productive nonstop.
I know. And
when you get
I'm
a good running back, you
I'm
run
not
him.
I'm sure he's an elite running back.
I'm okay with a guy like Fred Taylor being a committee member, but you now have a young horse. And what do you want to do with young horses? Let him run.
Let him run free.
Exactly.
Run free.
And
listen,
win games. And Brady has fun. Everybody has fun.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama. Yokohama. Technology drives better tires.
Each week we take your questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. So let's get right to it. This first one comes from John, and he says, if both Patriots quarterbacks got injured in the same game, who would be the Patriots quarterback?
I'm going to go with Julian Edelman. I don't feel overly confident about it, but at least he was a college quarterback, and we have once upon a time see him go near center for a snap on a trick play they tried to run a couple years ago. So I think he's really the only option you have to turn to. Some of the other guys they've had in the past, Troy Brown or Kevin Falk, but they're not around anymore, so I'm going Edelman.
Okay. This next one comes from Alex, and he says, great win. I'm puzzled as to why some of the local media repeatedly called the Patriots' schedule easy or the easiest in the league. He thinks that there's a lot of elite teams, plus Manning back in, you know, on Denver. So why are they saying it's an easy schedule?
Well, I do think that you can be dangerous when you start calling schedules easy before really a season gets underway. But if you look on paper to what these teams were last season, I think that's what they go by. And statistically, it's the easiest schedule in the league in terms of the combined record of their opponents. They faced very few playoff teams from 2011. I think Denver will be a challenging game now that Peyton Manning's there to give them an offense. But to me, the biggest thing is the toughest games you have, Denver, San Francisco and Houston, all at home. And I think that's a huge factor. They go to Baltimore, that's the really one road test. Otherwise, the tough games are here at Gillette Stadium.
Okay. Mike writes in, he says, a lot of people are believe that Brian Waters is holding out. If that's the case, no fruit basket for you, Brian Waters. Are there any good guards available?
Not really, because if you were good, you'd be on a team right now. And in a league where, you know, Rich Ohrenberger is on a team, you'll see him with the Cardinals this week. There are not a lot of good guards just sitting out there. Brian Waters is easily the best. I mean, as a pro bowler, multi-time pro bowler, he's just sitting out there. But, I mean, the Patriots feel like right now they have the depth in there, and I don't think they're looking to sign anybody. If Waters wanted to show up and play, maybe that would change something, but I don't think they're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Okay, well, they had a good, decent game last week. We'll see how that offensive line holds up. All right, every week we're going to take your questions. Ask PFW at patriots.com.